we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Holt.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start our new series with a warning notice printed on a propane blowtorch, read by Brian Perkins.
Caution, use in a tent may be dangerous. Never use while sleeping.
Thanks to Robert Smith of Merstham for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Linda Smith. Andy, why will paying more tax be good for your health?
It's a very good question. A very important question. But with respect, I don't feel it's the question you should have asked me. Because I think the question you should have asked me, Simon, is, Andy, why tonight do you feel a deep sense of personal shame?
Well, I assume you always do.
No, the reason I feel this sense of shame is that the Prime Minister made a speech a few weeks ago which rather opened my eyes, frankly. And sitting here tonight, surveying the panel, I realised that I am surrounded by wreckers. Jaundiced, cynical people who will throw cheap jibes from behind the coward's cloak of humour. Possibly. And I've decided this series, I'm not going to be part of that, Simon. I'm just not going to buy into all that. So I'm going to be putting Tony Blair's point of view whenever it comes up tonight. And for instance, on this Mittalgate question, which I know is going to come up, and I just want to get on the record that actually he writes those kind of letters on behalf of businesses all the time. And I know that for a fact, because I got one from him this morning. And I'm going to read it to you now. This is in the interest of the public's right to know. Dear Andy, hi. Just a note to say how pleased I am to hear that you've decided to buy 2 pints of milk from the newsagents by the garage in Putney High Street. I'm especially pleased because this particular newsagent is a... Another word, friend's been crossed out there. Is a British-based concern which employs as many as 2 people. Needless to say, this far-sighted decision will weigh in your favour at next month's meeting to discuss your application for membership of the Rotary Club. All the best, Tone. Now, that's the kind of thing that I'll be retaliating with against any anti... But to go back to your question, which was a good question, Tony Blair has come up with this rather revolutionary idea, actually, of funding public services through money raised from taxes. I'm sure, again, there'll be a lot of cheap digs at what he's doing. But it's actually a very good idea. He's going to use this thing called income tax, that apparently was his idea. And he's going to save, he's going to rescue the health service. So that's the message we should be sending out. Tony Blair rescues health service from government.
2 points, as Tony Blair said, if people want a free health service, they're going to have to pay for it. Fred, why is Stephen Byre's fate still hanging in the air?
Oh.
It's so easy to say that, though. Oh. Just attack the government with an oh.
Air traffic control is being bailed out with £30 million. And I was just thinking, what story are they covering up by putting this story out?
Oh, yeah.
You know? What have they buried with this £30 million story? I think Stephen Byre's probably resigned about 10 days ago. And there's just been all these different stories about how badly funded air traffic control is. Is it because people aren't flying?
Well, I read that the crisis is because of increased landing fees at airports. And it seems to me that there's no need to plough public money into this, because surely a very easy way to finance the air traffic control system is if you're in a plane and they tell you that you've got to pay to land, you're going to pay quite a lot of money, aren't you?
If they just
come round and say, until we get 25... It's an auction, isn't it? Until we get 25 grand, the plane doesn't land. And it's never been a natural wastage for people who are a bit slow to put their hands in their pockets.
Or they could bail out.
Never
mind bailing out air traffic control, you just bail out yourself.
Bail out literally would be perfect, I think.
Linda, which economic test is getting easier to pass every year?
Economic test?
It's a Peter Hain question.
Oh, right. I think this is a Peter Hain question. Peter Hain is the Minister for Europe. And, strangely enough, seems quite keen on Europe. In fact, well, I hesitate to call him a Europhile, really, because there might be some slightly deaf vigilantes listening and got the poor man hounded from his home. But he's saying that the five economic tests, I don't know what they are, five economic tests, which Fredo Baggins must bring back, and it seems to have caused a bit of a hoo-ha with the Tories in particular, who were a bit undecided about Europe.
No, he caused the hoo-ha with Gordon.
Oh, with Gordon.
Gordon went spare.
Oh,
Gordon
God, you wouldn't want Gordon going spare, would you?
Peter. Hain reckons all these convergences will lead to our adopting the euro by next February.
Mm.
And Gordon heard this and went potty.
Didn't Gordon also say, I noticed, that it's mysteriously, it's now more than five tests, isn't it? I think Gordon said to him, I think you mean the 11 tests. I'm sure the number of tests is quietly creeping up.
The tricky one is going to be getting the monocycle onto the slack wire before you actually get on your forefinger and get those three rings going around your left shin. That was always very hard. It's why Variety died when the euro came in.
I'm not that keen on joining the euro myself, really. It takes the romance out of travel if you don't change your money up, don't you think? If I'm in Italy, I want to pay in lira for my Big Mac. Otherwise, you don't... don't feel you're abroad, do you?
The Prime Minister denied that Peter Hain's interview with the French newspaper was a way of going over the Chancellor's head, but he did add the five economic tests will now be judged by Pete Waterman, Dr Fox, and viewers' phone calls at 10 p.m. call. Alan, your piece of music. Metal Guru by T-Rex. Who thinks what? Tony? What?
I asked her what it was, and I Metal can't believe Guru I'm by so T-Rex. Old. I've never heard of that. Yes, carry on.
Or Trex.
I remember T-Rex, yes, Trex, when it was in margarine.
Kind of blah, Tony, who thinks?
Tony.
Alan.
Tony.
Tony.
Yeah. Tony,
Tony's
man
not here, is he? Alan, who thinks Tony should have cut out the middleman?
Oh, well.
Hardly worth it, was it?
There were these wonderful pictures everywhere. The mighty Hindujas. It's the abominable con man, who is a man called... Kashmi Lattle. He's a man who's bought Romania and is turning it over to the produce of old tin cans on the grounds that it'll be very good for British business. And he's currently buying the Czech Republic as well, I saw in the paper. He's going to do that out of metal. And
he buys Albania,
his steel industries.
He can have hotels.
The thing about his steel industries, they're successful because he shafts ours, while Tony is writing letters saying this is a wonderful man. As Andy adumbrated at the beginning of the programme, this is a wonderful man who... I would leave my children with. He is actually shafting British industry abroad as well, while furthering his own ends and lining his own pockets. And he's a friend of Keith Vaz, who calls himself the Minister for Passports, with one of those little smiles that ask for wiping off face material to be brought to hand. But it's all those shifty buggers that are...
If I might be allowed to put the Prime Minister's point of view... Frankly, audience, this is a load of media brouhaha about nothing. The particular obsession seems to be that Mr. Mittal is not a British-based businessman. But why does that matter? We haven't got a British-based Prime Minister. We are a global economy now. As John Reid, the government minister, so rightly said, we can't help it if people want to give us money. Is what he said. Put yourself in their shoes. Someone comes up, you don't know him particularly well, but he says, I'd like to give you this obscenely large amount of money. Well, it would be rude not to accept, wouldn't it? It's a manners thing, I think.
The criteria by which this man is British is roughly the same criteria by which Scotland picked the rugby team. If your grandmother knew somebody that once had Campbell's soup, you're in.
Yes, the US Secretary of State, Tony Blair, has popped into the country for a fortnight to get embroiled in the Garbage Gate scandal. Mr. Blair has told journalists that he would never act in such a sleazy manner before slipping a monkey in their breast pockets, patting them on the cheek and telling them to stay lucky. We start round two with a cutting from a Yeovil parish magazine.
On Wednesday, the Literary Society will meet in the village hall. Our soloist will sing for us, Put Me in My Little Bed, accompanied as usual by our vicar.
Thanks to Sue Hoenke for sending that one in. Andy, which diamond geezers failed to sail off with the booty?
This is this band of highly sophisticated criminals. That's how they were billed, you know, top-ranking sophisticated criminals. I don't think they were sophisticated, because I don't think sophisticated criminals get a digger, smash into the dome, and then attack the glass casing with a sledgehammer. I think sophisticated criminals find someone who's got the key. And the other argument, I think, that suggests they're not that sophisticated is that they had 150 policemen waiting for them. And the reason so many police were waiting for them was they'd been alerted by a previous raid that had gone a little bit wrong. And in the previous raid, they were thwarted by the fact that they'd left their ram raiding truck in a rather inconsiderately parked position. And they'd boxed in a local resident who was a bit narked. And noticing that they'd left the keys in the ignition, he took the keys just to spite them. So all in all, I'm not sure they were quite as sophisticated as we were led to believe. I mean, they're obviously quite determined, brackets, stupid. But anyway, they got sent down, Your Honour.
If the robbery had been successful, it would have gone down in history as the second largest ever in the world. The biggest took place a couple of years earlier when audacious thieves ran off with £750 million of taxpayers' money and spent it in an offshore haven known as the Millennium Dome. Linda, listen to this. That was Lazy by Suede. Linda, which weighty issue is now affecting British children?
Diabetes. Mm. This is the thing with kids now. Kids these days are rubbish. They are useless. Now they've got diabetes on top of everything else. Now, I actually think that because they're fat, they're lazy, they've got diabetes, they've got asthma, they've got their food sensitivity. Children are the new old people. You go up to children, you know, and they say, I'm nearly 10. It's the child, I'm whinging on all my diabetes, oh, it's terrible, and I can't go out because of my asthma. Not that I go out on my own anyway. I only let my mum drive me. Oh, not these days. There was a time when I used to go down the road on my own, but not anymore. Still, when you're 9, every day's a bonus. I was raised on sherbet lemons. I haven't got diabetes. What's wrong with them?
Whatever happened to your job at the NSPCC? Because that was all a bit shadowy, wasn't it?
I never had a satisfactory explanation for that. They were a bit cool, to be honest, towards me.
Doctors have reported the first cases of obese children developing adult or type 2 diabetes. A spokesman for the Department of Health said initiatives already in place to combat obesity in the young. It involves a carrot-and-stick approach without the stick. 2 points to Linda. Alan, which boy in blue has a red face?
Is this Paddock?
It is.
It's very hard to talk about Paddock because he's the commander for Lambeth and he's proud to be gay. His Lambeth walk is different from other policemen's. and he's proud to have a website on which he says he's an anarchist. He's a different sort of policeman. And he's gone away on holiday somewhere. I can't actually say where, but it's a gay police island. And he left his website set up where he's in favour of all sorts of countercultural things. And he wants people in Brixton to smoke more dope because that frees up a lot of policemen to do other things. It's 100% tolerance is what Brixton has. I approve of this man immensely. I just think he probably shouldn't be a copper. I don't know what he should be.
Well, I'm
maybe
astonished that he is. He must have done a blinding interview. Well, they didn't ask many questions. What's your name? You're Ian, I suppose.
It's the Masons, isn't it?
Oh, right. Oh, do you think he's in the Masons?
Well, I think he's
got...
I think he's got a very impressive...
I was thinking he's probably got a very impressive handshake, but I shouldn't have said that, either.
The thing is, I don't think he can be possibly a real policeman, can he?
Well, he's no good looking at that. What I know?
Well, you seem to know a lot about him, Alan.
Got this website, haven't I?
Yes, I noticed on his website he calls himself Brian the Commander. That's like a different sort of website altogether.
Commander Brian Paddock of the Metropolitan Police, the man who was responsible for introducing the more relaxed drug scheme in Lambeth last year. Under the initiative, people who are caught with a small amount of cannabis are no longer arrested, but gently shepherded to the nearest all-night garage and lent a fiver to buy some chocolate. We start round three with an item from the Bedfordshire on Sunday newspaper.
An Alsey man who complained that his new furniture had not been delivered was told it was because immigrants had been found down the back of his sofa.
Thanks to Anne Jarvis of Silsa for that. Andy, which flying doctor will administer a global health check?
I was just thinking, you know, you're talking about the rules for policemen. I do know the answer to this, you two, so don't try and steal the points. I can just see that conspiratorial glint. But it made me realise the other day I noticed the policeman walked past me and he was the same height as I was. Seriously, they've changed...
Were you standing on a box?
That's not that funny, that gentleman. No, but seriously, when did they do that? Because when I was a kid, I remember the careers officer giggling quite a lot when I said policeman. But anyway, to go back to your question, which is another very good question, Simon, well done. Is it about this satellite?
It is.
And it's going to hover up there, as satellites do, and it's going to monitor the environmental health of the world.
It's going to monitor the Earth's crust like a big pine. When it's done, it's going to go ping.
It's monitoring everything, isn't it? Isn't it monitoring, like, pollution levels? And...
monitoring us.
And who's put it up there? Who's paying for it?
Commander Brian. You can look down in the gay police island and see if I hear one more truncheon gag, I'm going home.
What's it going to do, this satellite? It's just going to
email
us
and say... It's like those things on the Air Ministry roof that look like a beehive. They tell you how much rain has fallen.
It'll be like those speed cameras.
Upset.
There'll be no filming it.
We had one of those. We had one of those in the front garden at East Barnet Grammar Square. Remember that one of those beehives? And David Collingwood would always come in early and pee in this thing. And I would have to go in and say, we had 14 feet of rain last night. I just remembered that, my meteorological career. I could have been another Michael Fish if Collingwood had been continent.
Europe's new environmental monitoring satellite will be launched on Europe's giant Ariane 5 rocket, which has only worked 3 times in the past, which is at least twice more than Prince Edward. It carries a total of 12 instruments. Sadly, none of these is Richard Clayderman's piano. 2 points to someone there. Fred, listen to this.
You're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. I'm gonna say it again, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good.
You're no good by the Swingin' Blue Jeans. Fred, which musical knight thinks that today's pop music can't hold a candle in the wind to his?
Well said again, sir. Again. Are you in some kind of pain? It's Sir Elton John, isn't it?
It is.
Who said that he's got no time, holds no truck for these manufactured bands like Hearsay and even Will, who's a manufactured boy. And he longs for the good old days of musicians like Milli Vanilli. Proper songmeisters.
He'd get in the police force now, wouldn't he? He could get in the police force now, Elton John. if he really wanted to.
Why? Because he's gay.
No, because he's a short ass. That's the best we can do, Simon. I'm afraid Elton John is not that riveting a topic now.
Sir Elton likened today's manufactured boy bands to packets of cereal, though how he knows that Westlife goes soggy when you cover them in milk is his business. Andy, why could dancing rats be the solution to an age-old problem?
They have discovered some drugs that reverse the ageing process, or at least slow it down. And the evidence for this is that they gave it to some very old rats who started dancing the Macarena, is what the what the scientists said. I don't think that's very scientific language.
You kind of feeling if the rats ate a more balanced diet, they wouldn't need these supplements.
Yeah.
I feel I they're in the denial. They're living in sewers, eating rubbish, no, and they're taking supplements. They're in denial.
There's no suggestion. Human beings don't eat what rats eat. We don't have those little things.
What little things?
I used to keep a fancy rat. It's a sort of little oaf.
A fancy
like
rat?
An oak. They...
I've heard of a fancy woman, but a fancy...
yeah. Stepping out with my fancy rat on a Saturday night. Yes.
Was this little flat in St John's?
It wasn't that fancy, but it sat in my upper pocket. Oh, I didn't realise this. You could rejuvenate a human being by going into a chemist and shoving a Vic inhaler up somewhere. Fundamental.
That was the spin that some of the tabloids were putting on it. I think it was a miracle drug can stop you dying.
2 points. Fred, what's the problem with marine geography?
Unfortunately, this is to do with marine commanders from Arbroath who attacked what they thought, for a laugh, might have been Gibraltar, but it turns out it was actually part of Spain. And then they ran up the beach in a mock landing and were confronted with several dozen fishermen going, "I have a book."
To be fair, though, they said it was a map reading error, and it's, I mean, it is not as if there are any big landmarks around Gibraltar.
You would have to feel for any German who'd got up early that morning to put his towel on. Bloody D-Day, you would have said. The media had left Torremolinos and fallen back towards Berlin, fighting all the way.
It's the second time in 3 weeks that Arbroath has been in the national news, though, because the only Scottish member of Al-Qaeda came from Arbroath as well. So goodness knows where he thought he was going.
The Marine Detachment's commander claimed his men might have been humiliated but had come away with a lot from the experience. 3 straw donkeys, 2 silly hats and 80 litres of duty-free sangria. Linda, what is curling?
Well, that's a very good question, actually. Well, of course, England have a gold medal in curling.
I beg your pardon. England. England.
Scotland. They all right. It's Britain. It's
How
Britain.
Dare you?
England and allied countries.
It's our gold.
Britain will have a gold in the curling.
Yeah, it'll probably be Britain will have a gold, but Scotland will have a silver. That's how it'll work.
Housework on ice is what it is. They throw a paperweight across an ice rink and then these ladies furiously dust in front of it and to clear the path because they don't, you know, they like a tidy ice rink. You know, there's no, so anyone could drop round, see your ice rink in a state, and that would be awful, wouldn't it? So I think we're also doing quite well in the...
defrosting the fridge.
Got a bronze for worktops.
Yeah, and I think in the free-form bath cleaning, we're doing nicely. They've invented things for us, haven't they?
Yes.
That we're good at tidying up.
The sack rate's going down the north face of the Eiger in a sack. The British Museum. Talking about. Three-legged skiing. Three-legged ski jump would bring the roses to their cheek.
I think the best event was the Australian guy that got the gold medal in the speed skating when the other 4 all fell over. And if you
of course
look at
they
the...
did. It's icy. You don't want
no, no, no.
It's
on the penultimate lap,
If it does want gritting, it does need gritting. Well, that's...
Curling team are all Scottish and have spent the last 4 years training for the Winter Olympics by curling deep-fried haggises down the frozen pavements of Socky Hall Street.
That's a funny joke, Fred, isn't it?
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
It's a website, Yahoo Sport Deutschland, and it shows the potential perils of having translations done by software. Two things you need to bear in mind. One is that Al is the symbol for aluminium, and two, that there is a German footballer called Stefan Effenberg. And it says, the chairman of the FC Fulham, Mohamed Aluminium Fayed, with Bavaria Spielmacher Stefan F. Mountain. President wants to then present a top team in the new stadium, which will seize 32,000 spectators. This stadium is to be designated in all other respects after his son Dodi and its daughter-in-law had an accident, deadly likewise.
Fred.
This has come from David Broshcombe in Bradford. And it concerns Winnie the Pooh and a court case that's going on between the Stephen Schlesinger family of New York and Disney. Pooh is very, very lucrative, said Bonnie Eskenazi, the Schlesinger family's lawyer. Children live with him every day. They sleep with Pooh on their sheets and they wipe their faces with Pooh when they're in the shower.
Linda.
This is a bit of crime reporting from The Guardian, sent in by Faith Escreet. Detectives were left in stitches by security camera film of a robbery by two teenagers who forgot to cut eye holes in their masks. Officers watched in astonishment as the pair repeatedly bumped into one another, demanded money from a shop wall, and failed to notice their newsagent victim dialing 999. Finally, they made the cardinal mistake of pulling off their masks to get their bearings in front of the security camera.
Before we leave you, here's an item from the Metro newspaper, sent in by Mrs. Phillips of Erdington.
A primary school's new £75,000 toilet block was opened yesterday with a blessing. The Bishop of Lancaster, the Right Reverend Stephen Pedley, recited a special prayer and splashed water onto the walls.
That's goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Carr and Andy Hamilton, Fred Napoli and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Simon Littlefield, Paul McKenzie and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.